All right. Welcome to New Dimension Comics Presents El Toddcast. I mean, the Toddcast. We are joined by an awesome indie creator, Dennis Robinson, and he's going to be talking about his book, Lycan, here in a few minutes. But while we wait for everybody to hop in the live chat on the YouTubes, we are going to just remind people of some awesome upcoming NDC events. So this Saturday, at the Waterfront, anniversary sale, lots of stuff on sale, like almost like a half a million dollar books on sale for half price. Yeah. Boom. Go digging. Then and the following weekend. Neat. Yeah, right. Come on. You're it funny.
It doesn't hurt to try, right?
We'll talk about that later. The following weekend, I'll be down in Altoona for Sci-Fi Valley Con, the 8th through 10th. So come and check out the booth. I will have some $3 Silver Age, some wall books, some other random stuff as I collect it on Monday and Tuesday of next week. The weekend after that is our Three Rivers Comic Con light show outside at the Waterfront, 12 to 7 on Saturday, 12 to 5 on Sunday. Got a lot of cool creators. We got some awesome vendors, we have some food trucks, and we have beer. Not beer first, like our boss likes to say. I gotta tell you about that. That was pretty funny too. And then October 30th we'll have our Fearscape vendor event up in Elwood City. The Fearscape haunted house attraction is in the basement of one of the warehouses. So we're going to set up a couple vendors and hang out. And I'm pretty sure that Big Shot Bob's wing truck is going to be there. So come and check that out for sure. And then November 13th, 14th, we have our warehouse sale up in Elwood, where we're premiering like 200,000 or 300,000 Marvel and DC box, like books in boxes, not boxes. That'd be a hell of a lot of boxes. It's like 400 yeah. boxes. Just purely Marvel and DC. It's insane. And we never let anyone shop that stock before. So come on up and hang out. It'll be a good time. So
what day is that again?
13th, 14th. You should have a golden ticket for your early entry somewhere in your store. I bet you any money it's your store. So it's in a stack behind the counter where no one's going to remember to give them to anyone.
Nope. We've already put them. We've already put them into subs boxes. So,
I am impressed.
I just didn't remember what day, and I kind of want to go.
No, that's awesome. I am happy that you guys did that. Most of the stores, that's where they end up, is behind the counter, and they don't forget. They always forget to give them to people. I'm like, guys, yeah. It's not effective if you don't give them the freaking thing. So really funny. So we always give our boss like kind of crap for, like, we always say like, he has a beer party, I have a convention, right? When we do our comic conventions. And so he, the other day, he just is like, he's like, Three Rivers Comic Con Light, all this beer, blah, 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 blah. And I just wrote, there'll also be comics, vendors, cosplay, food trucks, not just beer. And like five or six of his friends are all like, you beat me to it, you beat me to it, you beat me to it. It was pretty funny. Anyway, hi, Dennis. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I am sad that I don't live closer so that I could go to beer and also comic book stuff and cosplay and all that stuff, you know.
I will tell you, it's going to be I'm pretty excited about the food trucks because we have a shawarma truck this year. So
that's what gets me are the food trucks. I just went to a music festival where it was $15 a can of beer and $20 for like a slice of pizza. And I can't help myself. So I probably spent hundreds of dollars in 4 days just on booze and food and didn't even get buzzed.
my ultimate secret dream is to start a grilled cheese food truck.
I had a friend who had that dream once. It was gonna be something called 25/8. We're open as shit or something like that. But yeah, Grilled cheese, awesome. Grilled cheese trucks are always super popular everywhere I've ever gone to festivals. Last one I went to, the line was 45 minutes long to get your grilled cheese. That's how popular they were.
So, holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, we have a shawarma truck. We have a taco truck. We have a burger truck. And then I forget what the other one is. I just got the contact information the other day.
It was the one with the toy trucks. It was the truck truck.
And oh, the truck trucks. Awesome. Truck.
Sorry.
Come and get your trucks.
These are the jokes, people. This is why we have 74 subscribers.
Can you get some dump trucks?
Some dump. Do they only serve thighs? Like chicken thighs?
Yes.
Chicken thighs and dump trucks. That's all you get at this point. Mm-hmm. This truck. All right. So you, sir, have written this. It's a graphic novel, right? Yeah. All right, cool. It's called Lichen, and I'm going to show you guys a little bit of it while you talk to people about it.
Sure. So Lichen, Solomon's Odyssey is the story of the world's first werewolf, and this is the first book in a series of books. So right now the plan is 15 books that are all going to be 60 pages long. They span across different time periods and explore different mythologies, like all over the world and stuff like that. So, for instance, the first 5 books in the series, the first 2 deal mostly with like Saudi Arabian folklore, building up some of the world, and then Sumerian, Mesopotamian, Egyptian. The last book in the first arc, the 5th book, that I sort of equate that one to a Greek Avengers, where you've got Heracles and Orpheus and Daedalus and all these different people from like the really cool Greek mythology as they go to like Tartarus and stuff like that.
I'm in. Orpheus is in. I'm in.
Yeah.
He's my boy.
I love that story.
There's so many of them.
Of Orpheus?
He's the very popular one is Eurydice's dead. He goes to get her. But yep,
that's,
you know,
okay.
Yeah. But he also did like, he also got the golden fleece. Like he put the creature to sleep to get the golden fleece.
Oh, okay. So
Jason the Argonauts.
Okay. So like my big entry into Greek mythology was Jim Henson show.
Yeah.
The storyteller. Yeah. Love that show. And they did one with Orpheus. And I remember the guy who played Orpheus was the bad guy in True Lies. It was like the weirdest thing to see one and then the other. But So this series, I had this idea more than 10 years ago and then shelved it because I didn't think it was going to be anything. And then about 2017, I went to my first Dragon Con. Have you guys ever been to Dragon Con before?
I have not.
Okay. So I call it a melting pot of nerds. Literally anything you can imagine being nerdy about, it exists at Dragon Con. Any cosplay you could possibly imagine, it's there. I think 3 Brave Little Toaster cosplays this year. Like, it's totally random what you're going to run into. And they're usually super elaborate costumes too. But awesome. So I have a podcast called Botched, a D&D podcast. And a brief aside, it's an improv comedy show draped in the loose skin of Dungeons and Dragons with a fair bit of drinking, to give you a little context.
Okay.
So cool. We went to our first Dragon Con in 2017. And then I started meeting other podcasters and other nerds. And then we just got to talking, you know, one day, and then I pitched the idea and everyone's like, dude, you should totally do that. And then the wheels started turning. And since 2017, you know, got myself an entire art team together, editors, you know, you name it, I've done it. And then now it's all culminating in this Kickstarter, which successfully launched last week, right before I left on vacation.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, where can we listen to the Botched podcast at?
You can listen to Botched podcast literally everywhere. YouTube, sweet. Twitch, iTunes, any podcatching, you know, apparatus you have, Botched is on there. I think we're somewhere in the ballpark of about 750,000 downloads in the 5.5 years we've been around.
Wow.
So we've established a really ridiculous little fan base, and we always do a live show at Dragon Con every year, and it's usually complete insanity. And this year was no exception.
I was gonna say, like,
wait, Dragon Con was like a couple weeks ago, not last week, but that was your vacation week?
No, so I took off almost the entire month of September. I burned every PTO hour that I had saved up because Kickstarter, but also Dragon Con is Labor Day weekend. And then this past week I went to a music festival in Kentucky. So it was I sort of had two separate vacations while also doing all the Kickstarter stuff.
It's awesome. I'm just scrolling while you're talking about the book.
No, sure.
I love that scene where the dude's like whistling and pissing on the wall. Like, yep. Like that's my favorite scene in the whole thing. I was like, that's totally me. Like hanging out with buddies. Just gonna pee over here, guys. Don't worry about me. Yeah.
But I got, so what I have, we were talking before the show and you were commenting on the art. And what I always tell people is, you know, even if my writing is really terrible, at least it's really pretty to look at. I made sure that it's very pretty to look at. And my art team is spread all over the world, too. The artist is from Spain. The colorist is from South America. I can't remember where the letter is from. And so, yes, so we're just all over the place.
How do you feel about finding a team like that, like finding those guys?
So there were two times that I tried sort of getting everything off the ground. The first time, the first editor that I had is a comic person who sells everything on his own at conventions. And so he was very busy at the time. And we ended up going about things the wrong way the first go around, where we were using DeviantArt and stuff like that. And you can use DeviantArt, but you kind of get everything. Like a lot of bad or mediocre and then some good. So it's kind of hard to fish through everything because by the time you start looking through everything, if you do find a gem somewhere in there, sometimes they've already accepted another job just because it takes so long to go through all the stuff. The second time around, you know, we sat down and said, okay, before we, you know, go any further, we need to make sure we have the art figured out. And I had networked with another guy who's been in comics named Gabbo or Galvasaur. And he put me in touch with a Facebook group called Pairing Writers with Artists. And literally it's exactly what it is. You go in there, you put an advertisement, you say, hey, you know, I'm a writer. This is the project. This is, you know, the rate I'm paying, you know, this is what I'm looking for. Send all your submissions to this link. And that's what happened. So, and I found that a lot more high quality art came in. It was much more difficult to find the artist than it was to find the colorist. The artist, I got a lot of submissions that were really good. The colorist, I think it was one of the first couple that I got. I was like, that one, I want that. And basically the way I described it to the art team, I said, you know, I'm looking for a cross between Love the Lion and another comic called Hillbilly. And I feel like they pulled that off pretty well. And the color, so this page in particular, I was saying, you know, I want a lot of color, even if it doesn't make sense. Like it's not realistic in the desert for there to be all these purples and blues on these huts or anything like that. I was like, I kind of wanted an Aladdin art scheme where give me lots of blues, give me lots of purples, lavender, stuff like that. Cause I have always just been a big fan of color. So anywhere we can inject color, let's do it. As long as it's not completely ridiculous.
Well, it's going to help bring some life to the book too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Is that Cabo that you're talking about? The same guy that did Life After Life After with Fialkoff for maybe Oni Press a couple years ago? Look. All right. Because that book was super good. He's a really good dude. Anyway. Yeah.
And then the really cover artist is actually Christian Dabari, who just released Tales in Technohorror.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I read through this and this panel, specifically this page, I wanted to say like this was probably one of my favorite full pages because I think the art nailed like the flow of everything was great for the wording, but it also like hit the right emotions for the art for what they're doing. Like they're just kind of like sitting there and kind of doing like that, like two people watching, like you're sitting at the airport watching planes fly over type thing. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of the vibe it got, and that hit really hard in that vibe. I hope that's what you were aiming for, because that's what I got.
Yes. So I'm glad I didn't fail horribly.
Yay!
Like Wayne and Garth just watching airplanes fly by.
Right.
Will.
Yes, thank you for that. That was awesome. But
funny story about the cover artist, Christian Dabari. So my roommate, there's a town about 30 minutes away. He was going, dropping his kid off for school. And then he goes to the comic shop and picks up comics. He goes in there looking for something. I don't even remember what it was. And they didn't have it. So the comic shop was like, hey, here's this book that we just got in, Tales to Technoharr. And it's got an amazing cover. It's literally like a skull inside a spacesuit with like a giant grub crawling through the skull or whatever. It's like pretty metal. So he brings this book home and he's super excited. He's like, Dennis, check out this book I got at the comic shop. It looks dope. And I look at it and I've already seen this cover because I follow Christian on Instagram. And I'm like, you know who that artist is, right? And he's like, no. I was like, that's literally the same artist I have doing the cover of my book. And you could just like slowly see the realization hit him and it's like head exploded. It's pretty great.
It's awesome. Yeah, man. I mean, like, you know, reading through this, it like everything flowed great. The art worked for the wording. I'm really curious to read the rest of it now. Because I'm pretty sure this was only like the first 20 pages ish.
Yeah, I think it's 18 pages, maybe. I forget. I tried to find a good spot to be like a nice cliffhanger to include in like a sample to give to, you know, either podcasts or, you know, comic book shops or, you know, stuff like that.
I also say the lettering is very well done too. It's hard to do. Like we've had a couple letterers on the show and it's hard to do like the onomatopoeia in the right way to fit the book and the sound and the vibe of the book at the same time. And I think like this page specifically does all of that very well. So kudos to the letterer.
That always fascinated me. The one thing that was really interesting to me when we were going through this. So I've never done a comic before, obviously. And the letterer, Joel Saavedra, he would do the page and then he would also sort of draw it out for me and explain why the words flowed the way they did and sort of like, this is how it's supposed to look. This is how you should have your shot set up. So that way, you know, the bubbles go from, you know, logical point to logical point. And he was literally like laying it out from like, okay, so your panel up here needs to also be connected to the panels below it and all these other things so that literally the eye flows around the page the way that it's supposed to. And I always dig when people explain to me exactly all the little inner workings that I had no idea were even a thing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I always was fascinated by like letters and the things that they do, especially with like the sounds and stuff. So that's pretty cool to hear like how he explained that to you.
That's awesome. And then it's just it's hiveheadstudios.com, right?
So that's the link that I usually give out. There's also lichenbook.com, which takes you to the exact same place. Or because I have crazy patrons, you can go to clockfox.net.
Clockfox.net.
Yeah, because so we back when I was trying to figure out a name for the book, we threw it out to the patrons and none of their names were any good. But this particular patron, Steve, he was really in love with ClockFox. So he just to spite me bought the domain so it would forward to the Kickstarter. And then somebody else bought like, I think it was like timewolf.com or something ridiculous that they also bought to double down on. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
All right. So everybody please go and check out that Kickstarter. You got a couple more days left on it. If I remember it right.
Literally 2 days, Sunday at like 8:58 a.m. or something along those lines. That's when it wraps up. We're currently, we funded it. Like I said, we've unlocked the first stretch goal. The second stretch goal, last I checked, was $500 away, which anybody who orders the t-shirt level and above gets a free Lichen hat as well.
I thought you were going to like, face mask. I'm in, dude.
Words. Hat. There we go. And then it's like book extras, like metallic foil etching on the cover and glow in the dark wording. And, you know, then eventually it's a hardcover. And then eventually it's like a slip cover and all that stuff, too. So, yeah, plenty of extras and all that jazz.
That's awesome.
All right. Thank you. What we like to do is we call this the origin story. Kind of just tell people like, you know, how you got into comics, like if you have like, you know, certain inspirations you look for, like what's your muse, like how you just kind of developed into snowballing into this project.
Sure. So I'll start it a little bit before comics to explain how I sort of like got onto this thing. Back when I was in elementary school, they used to do this thing in the library where they would just throw you in the library and say, just go read books for like an hour or whatever. And this book stuck out to me. It was a purple book with gold lettering. And it was essentially just a picture book going over the original Larry Talbot Wolfman. So I had never seen a werewolf before. And I'm flipping through these pages. And the idea just as a kid just really hit me for some reason. So other stories like that also really intrigued me, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. The Incredible Hulk is one of my favorite comic book people because it's a similar idea to the Wolfman, but a little bit different, obviously, since, you know, it's not a full moon. It's just every time he gets angry. So just stuff like that. And then as a kid, I've always been attracted to art anyways. So I remember numerous times going to the grocery store when they used to have comic books in the grocery store, like in the magazine section. Yep. And I would be following mom until we passed it. And then I would stop and then just start perusing through whatever Wolverine comics were out. And then realize that mom had already paid for the groceries and gone into the car and was about to leave if I didn't like run away immediately. So that was sort of like how I got into comics. This particular story, I wanted to do a comic instead of like a regular book because I've always had a vision in my head of how I want things to look. And what I like about graphic novels is that you can sort of share that with your reader as well. Yeah, they're still getting all the same story, but they're also seeing it the way that I would like to see them, like envision things. And that has always just been something I've really been interested in doing. Definitely not an animation or anything like that, because I don't have the time for that sort of thing. But so I would say that's sort of how everything got started and how it moved into, you know, the realm of why did I make this into a comic book sort of thing.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Cool. Any other fun things you want to share with us? Any other projects coming up?
So the second book is actually, the draft is already done. So I was notified by the art team that they've got some other projects going on. I think my artist is doing like 5 other comics at the same time. So I think he said he's going to actually be able to start working on the book in earnest in December. So hopefully we're going to start doing that stuff. But I have a Patreon, which I haven't touched since I've done the Kickstarter because I've been distracted. But it's patreon.com/hiveheadstudios. And I post like anytime art comes out, I'll post like, you know, either one frame or, you know, one type of thing. Like if it's just the art, if it's a sketch, if it's the coloring portion, you know, whatever's coming out, it's like a little sneak peek. And then I usually post free updates as well as like, hey guys, this is what's happening this week. And then the last tier, I actually do a podcast where, you know, I'll give more behind the scenes, a little bit more story in terms of like, how are things going? That kind of thing. And every once in a while, I'm joined by another one of my podcasters who asks me questions that, you know, I might not have thought of that the audience might want to hear. So I'm going to have a lot of Kickstarter material to talk about as soon as the Kickstarter's done. And then as far as other projects go, obviously Botched Podcast, we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/botchedpodcast, where I'm hoping to have on Philip Kennedy Johnson, I think is his name, the guy who did The Last God. We have a mutual friend, a buddy of mine who used to do a comic book podcast called The Blazing Defender Report. They're buddies, and they were in talks about him coming on the show to do like one of our guest spots. But we have to get all our schedules together and whatnot. But we actually had Anthony Rapp earlier in the year from Star Trek Discovery on the show.
Oh, wow.
The total murder hobo.
He likes to throw fireballs over there. And Rent.
Yeah, and Rent.
And Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Most people forget about him in Dazed and Confused.
Yep.
I'm always like, is that the guy from Rent?
Yep. And we had Kate the Chemist on recently, too. So we were trying to Jack Packard from Red Letter Media. So, you know, we're trying to get as many different people from different areas to just come on and hang out and have a good time. You can also watch the show live on twitch.tv/botchedpodcast. Typically on Monday nights, we actually do sort of a Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing where we always pick a movie that one of us has never seen before and then drink a lot while talking about it. Most of the time it's a bad movie. Sometimes it's a good movie. The last one we watched was not a good movie. It was called Wolves. I figured I had to pick a werewolf movie, and there's not a whole lot on Amazon Prime. It's a 2014 Jason Momoa movie. Absolute garbage. Absolute garbage.
You had me at Jason Momoa.
When they turn into werewolves, garbage. They keep their hairstyle. So the main character has like a coiffed. He was the guy who played Havoc in
He has
like a coiffed blonde hair. When he turns into werewolf, the werewolf also has a coiffed blonde thing on the top. So I'm like, this is awful.
so bad.
And it was directed by David Hayter, legendary voice of Solid Snake. Whichever.
Yeah.
I'll go with Snake. I'm guessing you're a fan of Mystery Science Theater then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think his name's Joel. It's the second guy.
Yeah.
Not the original, but the second guy. And I actually did enjoy some of the newer Netflix stuff. Not everything, but they had some really good stuff here and there. So
yeah.
Agreed. I remember like coming home from school and just like the days that I didn't have anything going on and being like, oh, Comedy Central. Look at that, Mystery Science Theater 3000. And
I've seen so many bad movies that way.
I know, that's like why I love so many bad movies. Yeah.
Same. For me, it was Saturday mornings on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They always showed it like 10 a.m.
There and on Cartoon Network or on Comedy Central, they showed it too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. But yeah, I've always loved that stuff too. And that's probably also where my love of bad movies comes from. I own every Godzilla movie, like the old school Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
Not the like the American stuff as much, but I own all that old crap. It's so bad.
I'm going to give you a movie and you tell me where it ranks on your bad meter.
Okay.
San Andreas.
Is that the one with The Rock?
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty bad, but it does have The Rock in it. So that is it saved it a little bit. So it's not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. Wait. Better or worse than the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie?
God, I'm trying. I saw that movie
stumped
when I was like 12. And I'm 35 now, so I don't remember. So we're going to go
tell
with
you. I'll go with San Andreas. On
I was going to say San Andreas just because I don't remember the Dolph Lundgren one as much.
I keep watching it. It's so bad. It's such a terrible movie. And it's on every time it's on TV. It doesn't matter if there's 5 minutes left. Yeah. I'm like, guess I'm watching San Andreas. So just terrible, terrible movie. And then Geostorm was one of the other more recent ones. God.
So bad.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we saw that one in Texas in a theater. We went to go visit my brother, had like I don't know, like 1,000 seats, like stadium seating, with just this giant massive screen, and there was 4 of us there.
What was the one that was kind of like that, but it had had Cusack in it.
2012 or something. Yeah. I forget.
2012 was the 2012 was the one that he was in, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was the end of the world because it was based off the Mayan calendar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Had the numbers right.
So like all the snow, like up to like the top of the the hand of the Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, that was on. We were flipping. My wife and I were flipping through like all the streaming the other day, trying to find something to watch. And
if you want something,
we went by that. I was like, "Ooh, we ended up watching Goonies."
Bizarre and terrible. I highly recommend on Amazon Prime if it's still there. Suburban Sasquatch.
Yes.
It's great. Also, we were watching it, and my roommate, who's also on Botched, was just hating every moment of it. And then he realized it's filmed very close to where he grew up because he recognized landmarks and he's like, oh God, no, this is where I'm from in Pennsylvania over by Philly. It's like, yeah. It's a shame.
Hurricane Heist was another really bad one too.
Oh God. Yeah.
That one. I think that one might be the worst of those three that I mentioned. and then Geostorm probably second, but Hurricane Heist was just,
Oh,
trying to think of what it was. It had like a slight bit of popularity, like maybe 2 years ago, and it had to do with something with dinosaurs, and it was only like 70 minutes long, and I want to say it was on Amazon.
It's not Netflix. The one with. It's not. Is it Velocipastor?
That's it.
That one's been recommended to us to watch so many times, and we haven't watched it yet. Every week. Someone says watch this movie and we haven't watched it yet.
It's very it's definitely that bad good you want.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like same vein of like the one about the Nazis on the moon. Something sky. Hold on. I gotta remember
Thanksgiving Day, I think, is another one. I've never watched it. I've seen the trailer for
Thanksgiving is the turkey, the sentient turkey that murders people, right?
Uh-huh.
We watched that on the show. It's really bad. It talks.
It talks.
It's a rubber turkey. It's like so bad.
It killed this girl's
Iron Sky
boyfriend and then was doing the girl. And he goes, you just got stuffed.
Yeah.
Like, please tell me that didn't just happen.
There's also a scene where he's hitchhiking and a guy picks him up and he goes, ass, cash, or grass? And the turkey's like, well, I don't have any cash and I don't have any grass. He's like, as it is. And then the turkey like just has a shotgun for no reason out of nowhere and just has the guy call his kids. Just so you can kill him on the phone, and then the turkey drives the truck. It's so bizarre. And at the end, the turkey, they shoot the turkey, and for no reason whatsoever, like a garbage, like a waste can that a neighborhood would have, it's radioactive waste that's just in the middle of nowhere next to the street. Of course, the turkey falls into it, and then it's a radioactive evil turkey that's running around. Like,
wow.
Nothing about that movie made sense.
Iron Sky was what I was thinking about.
Iron Sky. Okay. So,
if you've never watched, the first one is actually not that bad. And for the fact that it was 100% crowdfunded, the effects are amazing. The second one, on the other hand, is a giant pile of garbage. So right up your alley. But watch the first one because it's actually worth it. Like there's a scene where like these. Like the plot is basically like there's Nazis that were on the moon, right?
Okay.
And they eventually come back to Earth to invade and they don't realize that World War II has ended, you know, 50, 60 years ago at that point. And like these two SS soldiers are open up a Playboy and they're like, oh, look, it looks like the Führer's mustache. Like, like that's the kind of like random stuff you hear in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like that could be Sucker Punch 2, maybe. Let's see. Sucker Punch 2.
I couldn't make it through the first one, so.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. We've all talked about our love-hate relationship with Scott Snyder. Or Zack Snyder, not Scott Snyder. Both, actually.
Yeah. You can call Scott.
Both Snyders.
You have a love side to his? I don't.
I liked Watchmen a lot, so. Yeah, Watchmen was
that was my first exposure to Watchmen was the movie.
300 was also very 300 good.
Was before was yeah and 300 was good. Watchmen was pretty good, but
302 though after. Not so good.
No, not as much.
Don't do sequels if you're Zack Snyder.
300 part 2 or like 302.
I think they called it 600 because it's 300 times 2, so it's just 600.
Okay.
I think it was 301.
300 squared.
No, 301, like 300.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. So, anyway, moving on, we're going to talk about some local comics. But before that, where can people find you on social media if they want to hunt you down and ask you all kinds of fun questions?
Sure. So on most social media, you can find me at my internet moniker, which is the world's most okayest DM, except for on Twitter, because there's too many letters in world's most okayest DM. So it's world's okayest DM, I think. If you could tell, I don't use Twitter that much, except for the Kickstarter. On Instagram and all that stuff, I mostly do Kickstarter stuff right now and then post pictures of my puppy. I got a Newfie. I just post pictures of that thing all the time.
Nice. That's what I'm going to be following for. Better than people. I mean,
yes, they are better than people.
I mean, one of my Bostons has been sitting beside me this whole time. So she's just, that's usually her spot for Thursday nights. All right. So while we're talking about Kickstarter, we have another local PA guy who created a Kickstarter for his satanic coloring book. And the best part is, you know what's the back cover. but this is actually pretty cool. This is by Jason Lennox. You can find it at Jason Lennox Art, or I'm just sorry, jasonlennox.com. I believe that's right. Let me double check that. I may have actually said it right the first time. Nope, jasonlennox.com. And he also has a book called Lord of the Cosmos that you can find in most New Dimension comic stores. But he's out of Altoona. He's a great dude. He's a big metalhead. Surprised no one. But this book is really kind of cool. There's some really awesome parts to it. The Kickstarter starts on Tuesday, October 5th, which is this coming Tuesday, and is also my 40th birthday.
Happy early birthday.
Is he related to Annie Lennox?
Walking on
broken glass. Sorry, but I just wanted to sing Walking on Broken Glass.
I mean, I do love
we
that
can,
song.
We can, like, you can skip. You didn't even have to answer me. Let's just pretend I didn't do anything right now.
More than you know, do I love that song. I'm also a Eurythmics fan, so there you go.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to talk about a couple books real quick. Yes. In the like 20 minutes we got still going on here. And Dennis, feel free to chime in on any of these if you want to at all. All right, I'm going to start with Human Remains from Vault. Karen Gillan wrote this. The art was really good. Yeah. And that is Sally Cantorino. I think I said that right. This book was just hilariously fun for me, because basically anyone who gets too overly emotional, this alien comes and just kills you. That's pretty much the premise of the book and how to deal with like there's like a guy with a kid, and it shows you like a little bit ago, like this couple like fucking in a field, and then they get married, and then the wedding is like the whole second half of the book. And it's like the day that the alien thing showed up. So it just like annihilates the wedding party. but there's a lot of cool stuff that breaks up into that. The art is fantastic. I really recommend checking it out. It is a Vault book, so it's going to be a little harder to find. But most of your local New Dimension comic stores should carry it, as well as some others in the area. So check that out.
Indeed.
Human Remains. So give me one second here. Just want to make sure I have the right book up for you.
So all basically, right. Sociopaths are just totally fine forever.
So sociopathic aliens? Because that's really what that is. So, all right. Tim, your first book is... Bam.
Inferno. I was super excited for this. This is going to end Hickman's run on X-Men, as he is leaving to do that Substack project with Tinian. This was a really, really good book. It's all about Moira for the most part. In House and Powers, the X-Men had promised Mystique that if she had did these things that they needed her to do, that they would resurrect Destiny. And Moira does not want that to happen, because Destiny knows too much. Destiny is the one that ordered Pyro to burn Moira alive back in House and Powers. And that's kind of how this book opens up, with a little reminder of just the brutal way that she was killed, getting burned alive. It cuts to the X-Men, to more specifically Magneto and Professor X, and they are down in this little bubble, which you find out is where Moira has been this entire time, and they're kind of hiding her down there, and she's a little fed up with it. She wants to get out, and she wants to make sure that Mystique's wishes of Destiny being revived do not come true. And there's a little bit of arguments going back and forth, where you could see that maybe the X-Men are, you know, she's more of a prisoner now than this being a voluntary thing. It culminates in the Quiet Council assembling, and there's a seat open, and somebody is elected to be on the Quiet Council, who I will not tell you, but you should read it and you should check it out, because it was amazing final page. And Nightcrawler's face was priceless when he saw who it was. So check this book out. And it's, I think, a five-parter. So
I hope it's Nocturne.
Who?
Nocturne. Oh. Like his daughter from the alternate dimension that he had with Scarlet Witch. Like, yeah, that was an exile. Like, that would be awesome. So, all right. My second book, with probably the best cover art we've ever had on the show.
I was going to say.
Turbo Kid, Apple's Lost Adventure number one, from Behemoth Comics. Love this was movie. A really, really short read. Go ahead.
I was going to say, love that movie, Turbo Kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Really short read. Art is absolutely fantastic. Very minimalist. Reminds me a lot of like Ed Piskor's kind of art. Or at least his style, like the, because it's basically black and white with like a little bit of reds everywhere. But it starts out with the little girl who you find out is a robot, and is looking for water for her friend who is dressed like a football player who drinks poison. And when she goes to find water, she also finds this awesome unicorn, like one of those riding pony head sticks that you used to have back in the day when we were kids, remember? Mm-hmm. Finds that and brings the water back, but unfortunately that dude is dead. So every day she just sits there with him and has fire after fire and starts singing stuff like what do you do with a sleeping camper, and then like moves his jaw on the skull to say like early in the morning. They're then attacked by a crazy guy, and she's like, can we be friends? And he's like, yeah, we're friends, but now I'm gonna eat you. So it kind of turns Mad Maxy there for a bit. There's a rat story in the back that's a bonus, but it's totally like that kind of like I said, like minimalist Ed Piskor kind of style art. So if you like Ed's art, you'll like this a lot. It's not as crazy graphic as say Red Room, but it's very good, and I definitely recommend it to people. So
it has like that, you were saying, like that black and white, but like where it has like that red hue,
yeah.
tint here to it,
like that.
Okay.
Yeah. You see what I mean? Like, so what I mean by it's like kind of Ed Piskor-y, like it reminded me a lot of his stuff.
I'm mad at myself because you mentioned the pony stick, and I totally forgot that that was a thing when we were kids, and my first thought was Fortnite, and I'm mad at myself because I've maybe played like half a match of Fortnite before, and that's it, and somehow that was the first thing I thought, and I hate myself so much now.
Respect level, what, down one notch.
I'm taking it down too. Thank you for only going one.
You're taking it down yourself even more.
I'm taking myself, self-respect down a little bit. Yeah, so sorry.
Well, that's why we only took one. It was two, and then you self-reported. So then we were like, you know what? It's props, move it back up. Right. So it's just negative one, you know.
Yes. You get a point back. One point back.
Thanks, kid.
Fine.
All right.
You're fine. So, all right. Your last book.
And I'm really curious because you said you weren't going to complain a lot about it. So I'm holding you to that.
No, no. I said I had something really good to say about it. And my good thing was not going to be that it was over. That was not going to be my good thing. And I promise you that will not be my good thing.
All right. I'm holding you to that. Here it is.
All right. Boom. Here we go. I'm going to spoil this a little bit. So if you don't want to hear, I put it in the chat a second ago, because this is the last issue. This is 2.5 years. I think this Kindred arc has been going on way too long. And I'm...
You mean the arc or the book?
The book. The book, the book itself, the title, just his run has been way too long.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, but some good things happened in this. The Kindred, gone, whatever. They're gone. We're not going to see him again. Super happy about that. There's a little bit of stuff going on with Mephisto and Doctor Strange where Doctor Strange is trying to get Harry Osborn's soul back, and he makes a deal with the devil as to who's going to win this outcome with Peter fighting Kindred. And Harry Osborn shows up, sacrifices himself, which I think is part of what's going to help him get his soul back, but it won't matter because it's dead. So that was kind of weird. But what I'm super happy about is Doctor Strange has a conversation with Mephisto. And he says, I'm curious, what's the deal with Peter Parker? He's like, you did all this stuff because you found out that all this stuff with Kindred was basically Mephisto. So, you know, you're doing this to him. You did the thing where with One More Day, you know, where you took his marriage away. He was also behind the Norman Osborn sleeping with Gwen Stacy thing that we found out never happened. And Mephisto says, I have seen a lot of things and I have a vision all the time. And in that vision, I have conquered everything and I am sitting on my throne. And it shows this panel with all this dead Avengers on the ground. And then there's Mephisto in like this bone chair and he's sitting there kind of cool. And he goes, and I am on this throne. And every time Peter Parker defeats me, he's like, I've defeated everybody and Spider-Man is always the one that's left every time in this vision I have, and he defeats me. And I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. That's a great way to kind of retcon this, go all the way back to those things that happened. It was a little sloppy the way they did it, but I love the explanation of that Peter Parker is ultimately the undoing of Mephisto. And that explains why he's done all these things to him for so long. And I thought that that was a really cool way to explain that. And I'm glad this runs over. That was not my good thing. I was just adding that in at the end. I'm glad this runs over.
Sure.
Next week is 75 and it starts with the new creative team. I think the first arc is Kelly Thompson, who is just fantastic. And she's writing Black Widow, which is fantastic. And she's writing Captain Marvel, which is fantastic. So I think this is going to be a really good run.
That's awesome. I'm curious to know how Strong Guy then beat Mephisto and became the ruler of hell for a while. If Peter Parker's the only one who killed them.
I mean, he's been...
Way to go, defeated. Nick Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Nick Spencer. There you go.
I mean, eventually Mephisto came back. Already. So maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe Mephisto knew. He was just like, oh, I'll make you think I won. It's a break.
Yeah.
So...
he's like, I was just X-Factor, buddy. I let him beat me.
Right? Because X-Factor was, like, the book, dude. And that was super cool. So...
That was in the Peter David run, right?
The second
the Strong Peter Guys?
David run. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the set, because like the first one started with like, holy crap, issue 40 of the original run. So that's volume one of Peter David's X Factor. Like the first one where he had 100% control was like the X Factor Investigations, and that was the best run, and that's the run that that was in. Yeah. That was toward the end of it. So
was 40, you said? Oh, let's see.
I think so.
I grabbed this sexy Peter David omnibus.
Yeah, what time's what when's it tell you it starts?
55.
That's right.
So. Yeah.
Fun fact, Peter David has always been at Dragon Con every year I've gone. And he always looks like a very curmudgeonly old man at his table.
Hey, man, if your wife stole all your money while getting divorced, you'd probably be that way, too. I like Peter David. He's like one of my all-time favorite writers.
Yeah. So my buddy, when he was doing his comic book show, had Peter David on his Dragon Con panel as an interview. It was a great interview. It was really funny. Because he did go into like all that like backstory stuff as to like why did he kill now the name escapes me, Bruce Banner's Betty. Why did he kill Betty when he said he'd never kill Betty? Yeah, because that was his ex-wife's favorite character, so he murdered her. So like all this other stuff, and he just goes into all this backstory and arguments and like industry stuff. It was super neat.
It's awesome. Yeah, he's super cool. Like, I love following him on Twitter and just listening to all the random crap that he has to say. I actually have a signed Peter David Star Trek page from the one Star Trek, like, special he did back in the day. And it's got this very awkward Kirk, Kirk and these, like, younger female officers. And they're just kind of, like, being like, oh, he's so dreamy. And I'm just like, this is so awkward.
He always has a table in Artist Alley at Dragon Con, and his table rarely ever has anybody at it. It's just, and I don't even think he's selling anything at his table. It's just him sitting there with another dude, probably his handler. And like sometimes people come over and talk to him, and other times, whatever. Most of the time, he's just sitting there all day. It would be very easy to, and you don't have to pay money to talk to him.
I'm pretty sure
aside he's from a ticket to get in, but
right. I'm pretty sure he's a very, big supporter of the cosplay community, and Dragon Con is very cosplay focused, so
it's true.
But
Stan Lee was there my first year. That was like not too long before he died, I think. That was the last little tour he was doing, and I remember he had this big long fishtaily thing to go and see him, and it was empty at that point because he wasn't seeing anybody else, and I was like 100 yards away. And I reach in my pocket to get my phone, and there's a security guard in my ear. They're just like, don't even think about it. I was like, what? He's like, I see you reaching in your pocket while looking over at Stanley. Don't even think about it. It's $50. You want a picture of Stanley? You got to pay $50. I was like, all right.
Wow.
That's like, not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going to say he thought you were pulling a gun out or something.
No, he was literally just making sure they were all scouring around, making sure nobody took any photos, because at Dragon Con, if you charge money to get your picture with anybody, they are super anal about it. And like there's a celebrity area that's not Artist Alley. It's a separate area, and you could talk to anybody, but if you want like a picture or anything, it's usually like 30, 40, 50 or more to just get a picture. I remember Chewie, what was his name? Peter, is his name Peter? The guy who played Chewbacca?
Peter Mayhew. Wait,
there's a guy that Peter plays Mayhew. Chewbacca?
Well, there was a guy that played Chewbacca, and now it's a different guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
I remember the weekend he passed away, all the digital billboards in Pittsburgh all had, like, Chewie's chest with, like, the bandolier, and it just said, like, like, Chewie, we're home or something. Like, you know, Peter Mayhew, and then like his dates. Like, it was
it was
really, really good. I was like, holy cow, like, that's so weird. Like, I'm driving to work and I'm just like, is that Chewie's chest? Like,
sitting at a table with his feet up on the desk, and if you wanted a picture, you just can't, like, he never got out of that pose. He just would sit back and like talk, and then if you wanted a picture, you'd come over. He wouldn't break his pose. He would just be like, boom, picture. $50. Well,
that's because if he stood up, he's like 5'7", or I'm sorry, he's like 6'7". He was huge.
Yeah, he was giant. Like, yeah,
yeah. Because I saw him at one of the first Baltimore Comic Cons I went to. He was there. That was back
when they only had like two guests, and it was him and Joel from Mr. Science Theater 3000. And you're right. He just kind of sat there with his feet up and just kind of did his thing. There was no line. You could just walk right up to him. Like he was just kind of like over by Artist Alley.
Staggering. 5'7"
It's always random which celebrities get
7'5" I don't know. Actually, now I'm curious.
Like some celebrities you think, man, their table's gonna be packed. Nobody there. And the other ones you're like, why would anyone care about this side character from Starship Troopers that literally is on the screen for 2 seconds? Full table, like a mile long. Like, why? Why does that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, holy crap. He was actually 7'1" So
I believe it.
Like, oh, you were way off.
I was way off.
5'7" Even 6'7" is way off.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it was closer, at least.
It was closer. Yeah.
Yeah. But still half foot off, but almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was closer when I was doing my parallel parking test. I still had to do it again.
Fair.
Closer.
There.
I drove up over the curb when I did mine, and I still passed. So whatever.
We just had barrels. It was just barrels. Like, oh, you hit a barrel. See you next week, asshole. Well,
didn't hit the cones. But I guess he didn't care about the curb, so whatever. Couldn't see. It was like so foggy. So he was just like, whatever. Just get in and out of the spot. I don't care. I want to go home.
I had to take it twice because the guy said I underpalmed the wheel on the first time, and I'm like, dude, this hand doesn't bend that far. Like I fucked up my wrist when I was younger and I literally cannot under palm the wheel to do that. And he was like, I saw it. And I'm just like,
I physically can't
see you tomorrow. Asshole. Like, so I had to go back the next day. And
the guy after me, a buddy of mine, somebody ran a red light and almost hit them on the side where the instructor was. Automatic fail. If you almost have an accident, even if it's not your fault, it's automatic fail. And I was like, you should have just let the car hit you and then taken his dead hand and signed it and said this was his last will, was that he really wanted me to have my license. Jerk.
I don't know if you guys have been in the DMV lately, but I had to go get my new license for the first time in a while this week. And I was like, man, this place is so much cooler that it used to be. And like they're now like massive and they'll have all these really nice screens and like overhead announcements, and I'm just like, man, I feel like I'm just like being processed to like join a military or something. Like this is like, it's like now sir, in this place over here. Or like that it. Or like you're in that scene in Beetlejuice where he's like waiting.
Yep. They moved ours into a bigger building, but it doesn't move any faster. And most of the time you're just waiting outside because they don't want anybody like clumped together on the inside. I mean, mostly it's people waiting for death. So you definitely don't want to have them all clumped together.
It might be the fact that you just have to walk like across a giant room now that makes it feel like it's moving faster.
Maybe.
But yeah.
Mine's way smaller than that. My DMV is like 10 chairs in there. That's it. So. But it was the same thing when I went, because I went like a week or two ago, John, to get my license again. And it was the same thing. It was like, sit down, now processing A10. I'm like, what is going on?
Right.
Where's the angry guy in the wheelchair yelling at me? Because for like 15, 20 years of my life, there's this angry guy in a wheelchair, which I mean, I guess I can understand if you're in a wheelchair, you're working at a DMV, I guess you'd be upset. And he's just like, next, A5, what do you want? A driver's license, you jerk. What do you think? This isn't the deli? Oh, I'm sorry.
I like 2 pounds. 2 pounds of chipped ham. What the fuck? Nah, so
chipped.
Yeah. Right? Or you can be like, chip chop
then
ham.
Pulls out a thing of chipped ham. He's like, next. A6.
He's like, I've heard it all before. You think I wasn't ready?
Anything anybody asks for, that's what he gives them. It's just I'd like to walk again. Done. Next. Like just anything you ask him, he just does. The magical DMV man.
He's just Jesus at the DMV, just like, he's got like a,
they don't,
like a bag that, like a bag of holding where he can just pull literally anything out.
Yep.
They don't know what chipped is in other, in some other states. I don't know if you know that.
I do know that. It's actually mostly a Western PA thing, but Eastern PA people know it. Sometimes it's referred to as chip chopped ham, though.
I went up to Michigan and I was working on a nuke plant at the time, and don't ask me why they let me do that. And
I wasn't gonna ask, but now I gotta ask.
You know what? Michigan's not there anymore. You've seen what's happened to their water. I'm not saying it's my fault, but so
you were working just north of Flint.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I want to get like a pound of chipped turkey. She's like, what? And I'm like, chipped turkey, yeah, chipped it up. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, you mean falling apart? I said, no, I like my lunch meat to be emotionally stable. And I got nothing from her. Nothing.
So that's like my roommate, Phil, from the podcast. He went to go get his first COVID test. This was back in like November or December of last year.
Yeah.
And it was in a mall parking lot. So you just pull in, guy does the thing, whatever. And the dude was not having any of his humor. He was like, oh, I forget. Phil would say, like, my safe word is kumquat. And the guy's like, don't, like, just didn't laugh, just kept going. And then like shoves the thing up. So he's like, at least buy me dinner first. And just humor, just all the jokes made it worse. And he just was more aggressive with everything. Some people
got a nosebleed. Yeah.
I will say the only thing that I don't miss from my time out west was pop. People's calling soda pop for whatever reason. I don't get it. I never got it. And it's still weird to me when people say it.
So you're from PA. Oh, you're an Eastern PA guy, right?
Yeah. I'm dead center. I'm in Gettysburg.
You're a soda guy. Yeah.
You don't hit pop till like Somerset or whatever, I think.
No, it's like State College.
Okay. State College. Okay.
Like State College, Altoona, West.
Okay. That's center but
county,
north.
Literally, yeah. Center County.
Okay.
West is pop.
Okay.
Texas is Coke. It doesn't matter where you are. You want a Sprite? Coke.
Yep.
I'm Georgia
pretty sure
too.
That's like, yeah, I was going to say that's pretty much like Georgia South. Yeah.
I say soda pop because then I don't want to start a war. I'm like, pop. Some people say soda, some people say pop. I just want a nice soda pop.
I just say I'm going to get a drink because I'm tired of people looking at me weird. Or I just don't say anything at all and I just take it out of the fridge, whatever it is. And I'm like, meh.
Yeah. Sean, that's not why they're looking at you weird.
You forgot not to put on pants again.
Whoops.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm too used to working from home. I forgot I have to wear pants again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I did realize that one of the things I did realize lately was that some of my shorts are now so worn from just years of wear that I'm like, oh, my God, I may have to replace literally every pair of shorts I own because they're just now all at that same point of you've had these for like almost 10 years. Time to replace. And I'm just like, oh, no. So I have this specifically, I'm sad because this one pair that has not quite hit that level yet are they're like this like black and white camo like shorts. Right. But I've worn them at every single Three Rivers Comic Con because I feel like as the showrunner, I'm going into battle. And it makes me feel like I'm Dimebag Daryl a little bit with the goatee and the shorts and stuff. So,
what is really Three Rivers Comic Con?
So the light version, which is the outside one, is in a couple weeks in October 16th, 17th. Okay. But if you're interested in the big deal, technically it's the fifth big one.
One, it's two, really, three, four, fifth.
If you shove the two fifth. Small ones that we had together this year into five, that'll be the sixth one. It's going to be the first weekend of June next year.
Okay.
And we will be downtown at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Okay.
you can apply for booths starting tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, okay. It'll go up on the website, and tickets go on sale the 16th of October this year.
We do panels and stuff there.
We do. We're not going to have a very large panel room this year, only because of some space restrictions. Because this is our first year in there, and we kind of wanted to keep it tighter.
Gotcha.
But it's very possible that next year or in 2023, we'll probably have more space to do some panel stuff.
Interviewed by me and John.
Well,
podcast guys.
Yeah. We will probably do something from the VIP party.
Okay.
So the VIP party, I still have to nail this all down, but tentatively it's going to be at the Sarah Hines house. And that's where we're going to have our beer release, because we make a beer for it every year. Nice. And we have some other cool stuff planned. It's about a 15 to 20 minute walk right down the river from the convention center, or like a 5 minute Uber. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of cosplay that happens there. We have some really great guests that were in the works of talking to you right now. Unfortunately, because the world is still crazy, and you know, people are canceling on like New York and Baltimore this week, and those things are like in the next couple weeks. New York's next week. So it's kind of hard to get a couple people to 100% commit, but we are working on some things. We do have a couple local guys that have committed, so like Ron Friends, Pat Olive, those guys have all committed. We're probably not going to start releasing the guest list for that until like November, but tickets will go on sale mid-October. And because a bunch of people rode their money and just let us keep their money for basically 2 years, we have like half the room sold already. So,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, but we're real excited. It's going to be the same weekend as Pride. The Pride Parade in Pittsburgh. So it's going to be a crazy downtown weekend. Lots of fun. I think more cosplay than most people can handle, I think, which will be awesome. I kind of want Rob Halford to randomly be the Grand Marshal of the parade so that he can come out and I can sing Painkiller with him. That would be great. Or Living After Midnight, which is my favorite Priest song. So it'll be cool. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. What If this week was really great, the Ultron episode. It was very good. I feel like it's going to be a two-parter. I feel like we're going to get a second part.
No, I think it's going to be a three-parter. I feel like it's going to be the last two episodes.
Okay. I can see that. It was still better than Bro Thor episode. That episode sucked.
Oh, God. Yep.
So bad.
But yet again, Thor having to play dumb and be silly to set up the terrible event that's about to happen, just like Ragnarok setting up Infinity War Endgame. Now,
so do we feel that we're going to end up getting like an Exile style event at the end of this, where it's like all those What If main characters are just going to be slammed into one episode, like an Exiles issue?
I haven't thought that far ahead, because all I can think is after this, I want Jeffrey Wright as live action Uatu, the Watcher,
because
I thought he's been fantastic in this, and this last episode that he was featured in a lot was awesome. So I haven't thought that far ahead. It would be cool. I just want to see more.
Disappointed with the What Ifs, because I feel like there aren't. It's like they just tweak one idea a little bit instead of going, like if it's a What If, you can literally do whatever you want. Instead of like just tweaking one thing, like do all kinds of crazy stuff. Like I was excited to see the Marvel zombie stuff, because I did like that run or whatever. And then what they did with it was like very, very minor. And like, you only had 30 minutes to work with anyways. And I was just like, okay, whatever, throw away.
I thought we got some good stuff in that episode though. Like where, you know, we see Hope actually go giant and then like, you know, carry everybody to safety. Yep. And then they did some stuff from the comics in there, which was great. But some of the episodes have been awful.
I would say most of the episodes at least have like one or two, at least even like the bad ones have like a couple moments that are cool.
Yeah.
But the overall story for some of the episodes aren't very good. Although I do have a buddy who makes parody videos of them. It's like the Doctor Strange one. He just dubbed with Groundhog Day. So like when Sorcerer Supreme shows up, he's just like, it's me, Ned Ryerson. Neil knows Ned the Head. It's so good. He Who Is Steve. That's awesome. If you haven't watched any of his YouTube stuff, it's pretty funny.
It's called He Who Is Steve.
He's
been very good in the chat tonight, so that's good.
That's the clockfox.net guy.
Ah!
Yes.
Clock Fox. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think that any of the what ifs are not enjoyable, but some of them are just kind of boring to me. Yeah. I also like I will say like I really enjoyed Lake Bell being Black Widow, like the voice of Black Widow.
Yeah. She was good. This really episode great. With her and the Hawkeye story was, you know, until the Ultron stuff really started happening, was really good. And then you got to know Hawkeye's middle name's Francis. So
dude, Francis, who works at your store.
Yeah, I know.
Texted me right after that happened. And he sent me an article about it. And I was like, you were the first person I thought of every time I hear the name Francis, buddy. And he's like, damn right.
Well, that's just because now he can get away from Ajax from Deadpool.
I was going to say, Francis doesn't get a lot of love.
So he doesn't, Hawkeye? We're just going to call him Hawkeye?
Hawkeye.
Yeah,
you really have to make sure you just hit all of it.
Hawkeye. What?
I thought you were saying hot guy for a while. I'm like, sure. Yeah. Francis is a hot guy. Why not?
Sure. Right. I mean, hey, anything to help a bro out, right? So, all right. Well, that's pretty much all the time we have for this week. Thanks all you Thursday Warriors for coming out and watching live. Thank you, Dennis, for coming out and being part of this.
Yeah, thank you.
Great time, man. You are more than welcome to come back anytime. And if you want to stay on, we'll talk. Make sure you get the right links for Three Rivers so we can try to get you out there for that next year.
Kickstarter is up on our Facebook page, too. So.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks so much for having me. I had a great time.
Yeah.
All right. See everybody next week.
Warriors.
Hold on. What time are we doing next week? Because I have to do that load in and I'll
We'll talk about it after. I guess I didn't even think about it. So okay. I can skip. Yeah, I have some
ideas. Talk about it in a minute. We'll talk about it off air. All right.
All right.
And bye.
All right.